This is the Balanced Artist Podcast, where we help the purpose-driven creator's journey suck a little less and thrive a little more. Hosted by award-winning musician, TEDx speaker, and comedian Rory Gardner.
Who?
We chat with experts who help level up your creative career by reframing your lifestyle as a balanced artist.
Hello and welcome back to the Balanced Artist Podcast. I heard a quote recently from comedian Bill Burr. It wasn't a quote as much as it was like a two-minute story on why you can't lose when you chase your dream. And it was actually really well spoken, but like I want to unpack it because with any of these motivational things, it sounds dreamy at first, but then reality kicks in and that's usually where people jump ship. You know what I mean? Stephen Pressfield calls this resistance in his book, The War of Art. Ryan Holiday calls this the obstacle, and the obstacle is the way. So your dream is like basically on the other side of the mountain. So if you're willing to climb for a long time, you can overcome whatever obstacles might be in your way, but the prize must be worth it. Why else would you voluntarily climb a mountain? I don't understand these people who like climb mountains for fun, like climbing Mount Kilimanjaro or something like that. Like I made it to the top. Cool. Why didn't you take a helicopter? You almost froze to death on the way up. These are the same people like you open a can of tuna. What are you going to use, a can opener or your teeth? It's like, why are you making it difficult for yourself? I'm going to play the audio of this Bill Burr thing so that you have some context of what I'm talking about. I'll play the first half and then we can discuss it. And then I will play the second half later on in the episode and then we can break that one down.
There's no way you lose when you go after a dream. You don't. It always leads to something better. Always. All right? Starving artist. I slept on a futon until I was 36. I don't fucking regret any of it. I was dating this woman and I said I had a spot I had to go do and it paid $8 at the comic strip. During the week, Tuesday night, I went down there and I came back. I tried out a new bit and I was doing and afterwards I was at home in my apartment and I was doing this silly dance in the kitchen because I had a new bit and I was psyched because I had gone through this period where I wasn't coming up with any new material. And she was laughing and then she got a sad look on her face and I said, "What's the matter?" And she said, "I wish I had a job where I only got paid $8 yet I came home and I did a silly dance in the kitchen." The responsible thing to do is to listen to your heart. It wasn't hard to work at the shitty job because I was always thinking about the exciting job I was going to do afterwards.
My favorite part's right at the beginning. Like his girlfriend says, "I wish I had a job that I got paid $8 and came home and did a silly dance in the kitchen." Like he wasn't driven by money. And I know a lot of people who just want to monetize their, you know, monetize the art immediately and say, "This is my new job now." It doesn't really, like if they can't sustain a living at it, then they quit. So is that really your dream job? Like you're just going to get up and quit like that. Like I remember I used to work at a movie theater when I was a teenager, which is unrelated to my career in entertainment. But as a teen, like we'd all get paid, you know, $6.85 an hour. And then the shift would end and we'd watch a movie and then we'd go hit some karaoke after. It was one of those, it was like probably the best time of my life. I had no responsibilities. I was making pizza, I was selling tacos, I was cleaning popcorn off the floors, but it didn't matter because I loved the people I worked with and the fun we were going to have afterwards and after the shift. And my God, we were so poor, but we had a lot of fun. It's like when you hear about these stressed out millionaires who like over leverage themselves, they build this life for themselves. And so they have to sustain it now. They have to work their feet to the bone or whatever because they just have to sustain their several houses and yachts and what have you. So then you got the other guy who makes $50,000 a year, who lives moderately and can basically check out at the end of the day. The trick here is to just make friends with the rich guy who will take you for the occasional ride on his yacht. So Bill also talks about doing working day jobs on his come up. Like he didn't mind working them because he was always excited about the fun one he was going to do afterwards. And I felt the same way in my 20s when I started doing like IT consulting. I'd be stuck in a cubicle Monday to Friday, but Friday and Saturday nights when I can get up on stage and entertain 400 drunk people with my live music. The release is what I needed after a long week of boredom, and the balance is what let me sustain it for years. I've done the opposite, where I've gone all in on the traditional career, where you just want to pull your hair out, and then I've gone all in on the music thing, where you're playing, you know, 6 days a week, late nights, you get your voices sore at the end of the week, and you have no time for anything else, so you also want to pull your hair out. According to bestseller author Cal Newport. Following your passion does not lead to fulfillment. It leads to poverty. And he's referring, of course, to loving what you do, but unless your basic needs are met, how long are you going to sustain this lifestyle? Which is why I always like to approach the pursuit with a balanced artist mindset. Once your extrinsic motivation is taken care of, like survival and comfort, then you can focus on the intrinsic, like curiosity, happiness, you know, the stuff that really drives you. Combining both of these too soon might lead to disaster. There's like a celebrity artist who can obviously fund their life with their art, but there's also like the middle class artist who can sustain a fabulous and consistent living doing what they love. But it still takes time to develop and nurture that before you can get it to sustain you. Doing your art specifically for money right off the top is a recipe for burnout. It was for me when I was playing music 6 days a week. At the time, it was the only way I could create income with my creativity. It wasn't until later when I got into recording and writing original music and, you know, doing some music licensing, I could really take my foot off the gas from the live stuff. And I'd never been able to afford to do the recording if I hadn't had that Monday to Friday job. So instead of resenting it, I embraced it and considered it like a sponsor for my creative career. Not only was it taking care of my extrinsic motivations, like sleeping and eating indoors, but it was funding the foundation that I could build my passion on. Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad. Remember him? He's got, he had a father who was like an actor, right? And I heard him speak about this on a podcast. His father was an aspiring actor, failed, and completely blew the family up as a result. So he would take his frustrations out on them, or like maybe a lot of time would elapse between roles, and they had, as a result, they had issues with money. So he ended up losing it and then just leaving. And I can't speculate, but I mean, perhaps if he had approached it in a more balanced method instead of all or nothing, then maybe there would still be, you know, less awkward Christmases. Sometimes greatness comes at a price. If you take like Tiger Woods or Michael Jackson, they're pretty much the best at what they do, but would you trade that for the worst childhood ever? I read Andre Agassi's book, and he talks about, he's the tennis guy. He was a champion in the 80s or early 90s, and his dad forced him to play tennis. And to this day, he hates tennis. And after you spend your entire childhood doing it, you become a champion. Your life revolves around it. You're winning tournaments, big prizes. Like, what are you going to do now? You're going to walk away? No. Like, he's gone this far. I mean, it's fun to put a positive spin on childhood trauma, but like, what about the parents who, you know, they want their kids to have normal jobs? Then some of them end up getting normal jobs and pursuing their craft on the side until the art takes off. Authors like Elizabeth Gilbert and J.K. Rowling had day jobs till they created hits. In fact, I think while Eat, Pray, Love was released and being sold, Elizabeth Gilbert still worked at her day job. I think she actually kept the job until the movie was made. We all know making money is a grind, but when you make your art a job, it's because it just makes it less romantic. All I ever wanted to do was make money in music, and when I started making major money from like licensing songs to TV, it became boring. Like writing jingles, it's not exactly why I got into music, but it was lucrative and it felt like doing something to push the needle forward, but it was more like golden handcuffs. When I moved into the comedy world, my dream was to be flown all over the world to share my sense of humor with people who would, you know, relate with the stuff I was talking about. And then when that dream became a reality, I started doing a lot of corporate stuff and cruise ship gigs, and I feel guilty that I was missing my kids growing up. For more detail on my parenting guilt, tune into episode 63, where I take a deep dive. So you got to be careful what you wish for, because when it comes true, is that what you want to do every day of every week? I feel like I'm being a martyr here and like pooping on your dreams, but it's not my intention. I'm rather just being the devil's advocate to chasing something with rose-colored glasses, which I've basically done for 20 plus years. Your creative passion should fuel you. It should be fun. Not like conceiving a baby. You ever done that? Like getting frisky is always a good time until it becomes work. Tracking ovulation cycles and trying to like rise to the occasion, even though you're in no mood, not ideal. But anyways, so if you don't love touring or whatever, don't do it. Like spend time building your digital outreach. You know what I mean? Balance it that way, or you can probably do that from anywhere really. So it's a nice touch. Understand that making money outside of the art doesn't necessarily not make you a true artist, right? Like I got into real estate investing a long time ago and I have a stream of passive income now. Like, does that make me a sellout? No. In fact, it makes me feel like less like dog poop on like my non-creative days. You know, those days where you like, you can't put pen to paper, or you do and nothing comes out and you just can't get a gig, you're burned out or whatever. Like when you have like income coming in passively, as much or little as it may be, at least you're not creatively frustrated and also financially stressed. Actually, for more information on creating income passively or general money stuff, you can listen to episode 60, where I can explain the cash flow quadrant. The important thing to remember here is to not let money be the value. Okay, so take inherited money versus like Taylor Swift. You have a rich relative that dies, or you win the jackpot, you win a bunch of money. Okay, then something happens, it's all gone. You're not built to get that money back because you didn't earn it to begin with. Taylor Swift, on the other hand, she can write a new album, go back on tour, and just make more than ever, right? She is the value. So it's not what you have to do to become successful, but rather, who do you have to become? The magic of our society is results-based. So how are you going to get there without the hard work? There's probably a good time. Let's play that last tidbit of the audio clip.
At what point, just listen to the sound of my voice as I'm talking about this. Have you ever had that level of excitement doing any other fucking job? That's what it's like when you go after a dream job. So nothing is worse than not going after it.
This is my second favorite part. Like, he just says, listen to the excitement in my voice. That's the kind of excitement you feel when you go after a dream job. Nothing is worse than not going after it. The regret part is the worst, for me at least. Like, getting to a point where you talk about what might have been has always been a fear of mine, which is probably why I pursue too much, and as a result, I can't focus on one thing at a time. But I believe that it'll actually pay off. And if it doesn't, who cares? Listen to the excitement in my voice. That's the kind of excitement you feel when you go after a dream job.
That's all we've got for this episode of the podcast. We have new shows every week, so remember to hit subscribe and share this episode with anyone you think could benefit from becoming a balanced artist.